Chapter 19. We are continuing our study begun 3 or 4 weeks ago. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he said to his 10 servants, called his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds. That's 1 pound each. Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to be called unto him. Verse 16, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound. Verse 18, the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound. Verse 20, and another came, saying, Lord, thy pound. Each one received the same amount. Now, there are gifts that the Lord gives, and he gives different gifts. But now we are considering those things which all of God's people share in common. You can't say that I have more than you or the next person has less than the other person. These are things that we all have the same amount of. And the first one that we looked at was time. And everybody has the same amount of time. The president has the same amount of time as each of us here. And I find whenever I point this out, that there are objections. They tell me, but he has so much help. That's not the issue. The issue is that he has 24 hours in a day and we have the same. Now, how much help we have is not what we're talking about. It's how much time we have. And then we saw that another thing that all believers have in common is the privilege of prayer. Men, including women, ought always to pray. We can always all approach the throne of grace. Now today we want to look at another item that we all have in common. All believers have in common a spiritual birth. And mine is the same as yours. Yours is the same as mine. A common spiritual birth. John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Now, when you go home, look the word up in your concordance, in your commentary, in your dictionary, and the better reading is, except a man be born anew, a new birth. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. This is just a little aside. You've heard the story of the brother. Whenever he preached, he only preached on one text. You must be born again. That was always his text. He knew it in advance. And one day somebody went up to him and asked, why do you always preach from the same text? You must be born again. He said, it's because you must be born again. We must be born from above. Now, this new birth, This birth from above, what is it like? Where does it come from? How do we get it? John chapter 1. Verse 13. Which were born not of blood. So you can't inherit. Nor of the will of the flesh. No man can give it to you. Nor of the will of man. You can't expect, you can't clone it. There's a lot of talk about cloning today. And they're cloning animals. And there are some people that want to clone human beings. You can't clone the new birth. But of God. The new birth is a divine birth. We're going to step aside just a little bit to examine how do you know that you've been born again? What's the evidence, the proof that you've been born again? Of course, you know it. But how can somebody else know that you really have been born again? 1 John, please. 1 Epistle of John, chapter 2. Verse 29. If we know that he is righteous, now, you know that everyone that is doth righteousness is born of him. Those that are born again do the right thing. You do the right thing. Those that are born again, that's one evidence that you've been born again. You always do the right thing. Chapter 3, please. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not practice sin. You practice sin? Practice getting even with the other fellow? Whosoever is born again doesn't practice. It doesn't say he doesn't sin. Because in chapter 2 we read that we all come short. But we don't purposely practice sin. Chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you love me? If you don't, I question your salvation. And I think I can say, not think, I know I can say, I love all of the Lord's people. Now, I may not agree with them, that's not the point, but I sure love the best people in the world. As I often say, with all their faults, the best people on earth are the Lord's people. Do you believe that? The very best. Chapter 4, please. Evidences that one has been born again. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God. Do you love? Let me ask you a question. Don't answer it. Just note it down. Do you love Saddam Hussein? You really love him? Or would you like to see him bang down? So glad that they took that statue of his and broke it down. I'd like to see him. How do you feel about Saddam Hussein? This verse says that those that are born again love. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Oh, that's a clincher. And that is how you prove and know those that are born again. Every person who is born again believes that Jesus is the Christ. I have often said, and I surely would like the opportunity, I'd like to get some of these telecasters and these radio broadcasters and seat them down just as you are and ask them a few questions. And one of the questions is, what do you think of Christ? And when they tell me he was a nice man and he was a good man, and I say, was he the Son of God? They say, no, they haven't been born again. All that are born again believe that Jesus is Christ. Verse 4 of chapter 5. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. You say, well, what is the world? You get that in chapter 2. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What I want, what I have, and who I am. So that's all that's in the world. Verse 18 of chapter 5. We know that whosoever is born of God doesn't practice sin. Now those are the seven evidences, beloved, that one has been born again. These seven questions can be taken as an examination. Now, we have mathematicians here. If the total exam is 100% and you have seven questions, how much is each question worth? How much? 14 and 2 7. Mathematician. Where's Craig? It's good to have mathematicians. So now you can add up and see how far you got on the examination. But we go on. Born of the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? The Spirit is not a thing, and the Spirit is not an influence. Oh, many people believe the Holy Spirit is an influence. He's not an influence, he's a person. And how do I know that? Oh, before I go any further, Brother Craig, we'll remember Brother Carter. Oh, he was a mighty man of God. I remember the first time I saw him, it was at the family hour, and I had a call and I had to leave, and I said to my wife, please introduce yourself to that man. We've got to know him. Mighty man of God. And he was telling us about a Bible class in the island of Jamaica. And this man came to the Bible class a few times. And Hedley Carter said to his brothers, you know, there's something about that man that just doesn't ring right. Something just isn't right. And they had this Bible class and this man came and they were talking about the Holy Spirit and this man referred to the Holy Spirit as it. Brother Carter said, repeat that. He repeated, he said, I knew there was something wrong with you. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He's not an influence. He is a person. John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. Born of the Spirit, a spiritual birth which we all share in common. John chapter 14. Verse 16. I will pray the Father and he will give you another Comforter. Verse 26, but the Comforter who is the Holy Spirit. Another Comforter. You will remember that about, what is it, 3 or 4 weeks ago, a girl was brought to this country to have a heart-lung transplant. You remember that? And they transplanted the wrong heart and lung. Remember that? Yeah. And when they made that discovery, they took it out and put in the right one. But she died nevertheless. another comforter. The word another, when you go home, look it up in your concordance, your commentaries, and your Greek, those of you that know Greek. Another has two meanings, and you find it with this young girl. They took out her organs and gave her another organ, but it was the wrong one. Then they took that out and gave her another organ. It was the right one. And when we read, I will give you another comforter, another of the same. Whatever the Lord was, the Holy Spirit is. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse that we know well. Yes. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Now, please look carefully at your Bible. I don't know how yours reads. Baptizing them in the what? Name. One name. Not names. One name. And that one name includes the Father. Who's He? He's God. The Son. He's God. And the Holy Spirit. So He must be God too. One name, three persons, all divine. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Verse 1. We all have in common that we were born of the Spirit. Acts chapter 5 verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession, kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? All right? Verse 4. Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. Is the Spirit God? Just reading those verses tells you that the Holy Spirit is God. And we have been born of the Spirit. Next question. Where is the Holy Spirit? And this is most important. I remember as a youngster, I was about early teenager, somewhere in there, and they had a hymn in the hymn book. Come, Holy Comforter. And there was Arthur Garner looking at the doors and the windows, waiting for him to come in. Come. The hymn is wrong. Where is the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. Where is the Holy Spirit? First Corinthians 3, verse 16. Know ye not that you are a temple of the God, and that the Spirit of God dwells where? Oh my. In you. Chapter 6, please. Verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you. And I want to tell you, beloved, I was a teenager when I first came across these thoughts. And for a whole week, I could hardly contain myself. God, the Spirit, inside Arthur Grimes? How could I contain him? And that thought, it just had me restful, or restless, I should say, for a whole week. God, the Spirit, inside of me. Little me. And God, the Spirit's inside. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Holy Spirit is within. Chapter 6, verse 16. What agreement has the a temple of God with idols? You are a temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Not only is God in me as an individual and in you as an individual, He's in the body of Christ. So we don't sing, Come Holy Comforter. We ought to sing, Let Him Out. Because He's inside. Let Him Out. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 6. Galatians 4 and 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Where is the Spirit? Inside. And again, I want to emphasize that when we realize that, it's going to make a difference. The Holy God Himself inside of me, that should have a profound effect on it. Ephesians 2 and 22, please. In whom you are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. You ask me, why are you reading all these scriptures? Because I want to emphasize that the Holy Spirit is within each believer. Now this is going to have subsequent consequences, and subsequent teachers will follow from this, but we've got to know where He is. And we're going to talk about quenching the Spirit and restraining the Spirit. He's inside. Well, I'm anticipating myself. We just read, He dwelt. Does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? I see some people shaking their head. All right. What does it mean to dwell? The IRS comes to your house. That's disturbing to begin. And you say, Mr. IRS, have a seat and stay there. That's where I want you. He's not dwelling. But oh, a long time friend comes. Oh, make yourself at home. The house is yours. Feel free. Go away. That's dwelling. Is the Holy Spirit dwelling? Or do we have Him in a corner? In a little place all by Himself so that you just stay there until I'm ready for you. The Holy Spirit is within and should be dwelling free to perform His act. Bear in mind, He's God. And one of the weaknesses of us as believers is we don't allow the Holy Spirit to have His way. You know, this is about all I want to say today. We'll continue in the future. The work of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the flesh. Who wrote the Bible? You know who wrote the Bible? God. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. You know what our Lord said? Oh, I'm way ahead of myself. You know what the Lord said? The scriptures cannot be broken. And I know an old brother. If they can't be broken, they don't need to be fixed. How's that? And you've got it in your hand. But we'll get to that. This is as far as I desire to go today. Born of the Spirit. The Spirit is within. And in the will of the Lord, as we go on, we'll consider what he does and how we oppose him and how we encourage him. 394, please. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. As I always ask, beloved, aren't you glad that you're saved? Aren't you glad that Jesus is yours? How many things in this world can you say really belong to you? Oh, I paid for my house. That's nonsense. Government can take that house anytime it wants. That's not yours. But Jesus is mine. That's a precious thought. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit. Oh, my. Washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. Do you praise the Savior all the day long, beloved? You ever sit down by yourself and just enjoy the Lord and thank him for who he is and thank him for salvation? Try it. It's a wonderful experience. The people that are supposed to know tell me that one of the troubles with most people is they can't stand themselves. They can't stand being alone. And what did the Lord say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. You need never be alone. Just get by yourself with the Lord and enjoy him. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Verse 3. With joy and rejoicing we bow in thy presence. With joy and rejoicing we give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. For that which he has done whereby we can be gathered here today. And for the anticipation that he's coming to take us to be with himself. We thank thee for the truth of thy word, the Holy Spirit, God himself, present and with us and in us. Oh, may the joy of this reality go with us as we take leave one of another. Grant thy blessing upon us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Beloved, enjoy your salvation.